Now, in her emotional memoir, our first guest today shares the coping strategies she invented to get herself through the trials of young life and the ways in which school and church served as refuges over the course of her journey. To tell us about her book called Seeing Eye Girl, a memoir of madness, resilience and hope, welcome to the show, Beverly J. Armento.
Thank you so much, Selena. Thank you for inviting me.
It's my absolute pleasure, Beverly. So you are the oldest child of a blind and mentally ill mother. That's how we've got an opening statement here.
Yes, that is very true. But the very earliest years of my life, the foundation years, my first 5 years, my mother was fine, and I had loving parents, and I, of all my siblings, I was the only one that really experienced a firm and positive foundation, and I think that that influenced the way that I treated and endured and coped with the rest of my life, because I built strong bonds with my mother and father. My mother was loving and caring, but about age 5, there was a traumatic event at the house, and I believe it was during that time that my mother had a psychological break, and she did become violent and delusional and conspiratorial, and you know, the rest is the story. Since my father walked out at that time and left my baby sister and me in the care of my mother, and for who knows what reasons, my mother had a lot of anger directed to my father. And since I was the oldest and looked an awful lot like my father, it's my hunch that she directed most of her anger then to me. Who knows her intent, but that is what happened. And yes, I did learn to cope with it. You know, this story is one story of many. There's so many children that grow up with adverse childhood experiences, be it sexual, physical, emotional abuse. They might lose a parent, you know, which is particularly relevant now during the pandemic. So many children have lost caregivers or parents. And so in many ways, children experience trauma of one kind or another. And, you know, in a sense, you could view my story as a case study of what goes on in a child's life when there is trauma at the home. You know, I find it particularly interesting that this this book, The Body Keeps the Score, is now number one on the New York Times bestselling nonfiction list. And that is a doctor's discussion of trauma. And childhood trauma is, of course, one major section of his book. And what happens to children as they grow up and don't deal effectively.
Yeah, I think the problem is with your situation. It seems like, I mean, it was both emotional and physical abuse, but it went on until you were 24.
The abuse started when I was 7, and it continued until I was about 24, when I actually did leave home. So all during those years, from 7 to 24, there was a physical and emotional abuse, yes. And, you know, one of my major coping mechanisms, Selena, you know, like so many kids, I tried to suppress my emotions, deny the pain, and kind of push those emotions down and cover them over with a smile. I presented myself at school and at church as a happy child. I had a sense of humor. I was popular. I had a lot of friends. You know, school was the place where I could be. I was safe. And my teachers, you know, were so supportive of me. You know, in those days, no one reported abuse. I'm sure some of my marks were visible to teachers, but they treated me as though I could do anything. And, you know, I believed them.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And we mentioned that your mum was also blind, and the book's called Seeing Eye Girl. So as the oldest child, were you literally her eyes? Were you her carer in that way?
Yes, indeed. I was her seeing eye girl, especially in the early years. You know, I figured out how to do this. You know, when we were very young, my father or Italian cousins, when we lived in Yonkers, New York, they guided my mother around town. But by age 7, I was sort of the one to do this. And so I figured out how to do it. And I did indeed guide her around town. We went to the grocery store. We took the bus. You know, I told her what the descriptions of the foods were. We made a list before we went to the store. You know, at home, everything was organized in such a way that my mother was able to find things, especially in the kitchen. You know, where was the baby food? Where was the baby vegetables? And it was my job to line things up in a certain way so that she could find her way around easily. So, indeed, I was her seeing eye girl. Now, when I was 9 in 1950, there really was a medical miracle. These were the early days of corneal transplants, and she had the good fortune to meet Dr. Bascom Palmer. And you may have heard of the Bascom Palmer Eye Institute. It's one of the leading research institutes in this country, at least. And Bascom Palmer, in 1950, was a young doctor who was committed to making sure that everyone, even poor people, had access to good eye care. And he said to her, "You are the perfect candidate for the corneal transplant." And so by 1950, her right eye received a corneal transplant. And look at that. She could see.
Wow.
I mean, it was like amazing. Unfortunately, she had the kind of disease that was very rare and was very little researched. And over time, over a period of 6 or 7 years, her cornea is clouded up again, and she did have 2 more corneal transplants in 1956. But, you know, her vision was restored, and so she became very popular here. And because she was so artistic, people were, like, amazed at this woman. And, you know, she appeared on a number of quiz shows. We were on This Is Your Life. You're much too young to
I remember
any of these shows. Queen for a Day. But you know, my mother, like me, you know, I was strong Beverly at school and weak Beverly at home. And my mother, likewise, was precocious mama when she was on the stage. She was very eloquent, very self-possessed. She was able to speak logically and clearly. And everyone thought that she was quite interesting.
So when she managed to get her sight back for those years, was she different towards you?
For short periods of time. When there's a wonderful chapter, one of my favorite chapters, if I might say, is Mama Can See. And, you know, during that year, that when she received the first two corneal transplants, things were relatively wonderful at the household. And she treated me very, very well. But that did not last very long. She soon fell back into her violent, rageful behavior. So she could find me more easily because she could see me then.
I know that you you mentioned teachers really helped you and they were very positive towards you. Is that what led you to become an educator yourself?
Oh, Selena, you hit it right on the head. You know, my teachers were my angels, my role models, my mentors. You know, I don't know that I consciously thought that they were my surrogate parents, but, you know, in a sense, they were. They were kind, and they influenced me. And, you know, my early thoughts of, well, what are you going to be when you grow up? I was going to be a missionary or a journalist, you know. And then in high school, I took this aptitude test, and the counselor said to me, well, look at that. You're going to be a teacher. And I was sort of like, oh, but of course. Of course I'm going to be a teacher. You know, somehow I hadn't actually thought that consciously before that moment. But then it all fell into place. Of course, that is, I want to be just like my teachers. I want to encourage other children. I want to nurture children. And so that became my focus. And actually, you know, I've taught for like 50 years in one way, shape, form, or another. And at the university level, I prepared future teachers. And I tried to pass on this message of how important teachers are to every child in your class. You don't have to know that they have trauma in their lives. You know, just assume that you're there to provide a safe, supportive, encouraging environment for everyone.
Yeah, quite right, too. Can I ask, Beverly, is your mum still around?
No, she's not. She died 20 years after I left home in 1983.
And did you still have an okay relationship with her until her dying day?
No, I did not. When I left, I was so traumatized that I was so afraid to go back. I was afraid of her. You know, in a way, I'm ashamed that I couldn't get up the courage. You know, as you mature and you think about what I could have done or what I could have said, or, you know, I did try to get help for her, but she refused all sorts of help. But I was afraid that she would find me. And so those 20 years in between leaving and her death were, I carried the trauma with me and I did not seek help. Her death put me into a state where I knew I needed professional help.
Did you get the professional help?
Oh, I did. And again, I was able to find, you know, like the psychologist's psychologist. You know, it was a recommendation for someone, you know, who knew the field here in Atlanta. And I went to the best of the best. And he really taught me so much and helped me forgive and integrate the child Beverly into the adult Beverly.
Yeah, that's great. That's a good message. And I believe the book starts with a poem. Is that correct?
Well, there are there are a number of little poems in the book. There's a poem at the beginning of the Mama Can See chapter. And there's a poem earlier on that's a little more traumatic. It's the first poem that I wrote in a writing class about the first sort of knockdown, drag out fight. But you really don't want to hear that.
Okay. We won't ask you to say that one then. Well, all the poems and more are in the book called Seeing Eye Girl, A Memoir of Madness, Resilience and Hope. It's by Beverly J. Armento, who we're speaking to now. And you can buy it from our website. Beverly, do you have a website as well?
Oh, I do. It's my name, Beverly Armento author.com. And on the website, you know, I'm trying to use this opportunity in my life to talk about the two important themes that come out of the book, the adverse childhood experiences and the important role of teachers. So I'm doing some writing and some interviewing and some podcasts on those two themes. And you'll find all of that housed on my website. I hope you will go there and keep in touch with what's happening.
I'm sure we will. Beverly, sadly we're out of time, but thank you for being on the show with us today.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Talk Radio Europe.